Pastor Mark, for your ministry to us. Have you ever heard the phrase, many times the most complex problems have the most simple solutions? It's true. Have you ever had one of those times where you thought that a situation was so complex and you were kind of overanalyzing it, and then you went like this? We call them duh moments, amen? I have several duh moments, weekly, daily, amen? But really, you're going and you're thinking, and the complexity of the problem is overwhelming you, and then you think, wait a second, it's this. And you figure it out, amen? You know, at 4:37 a.m. on Wednesday, March 28th, 1979, as most Americans slept, the most complex of problems began and would unknowingly endanger the entire world. Did any of you figure out that date? Did you look at it? Any guesses? What was it? No, March 28th. Drake said it was your birthday. Serves me right for opening up the floor. Amen. It was the day, the hour, it was the day that what we call the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant melted down. And those of you that don't know, and listen, I don't understand all of how nuclear power works, but there was a partial core meltdown of reactor number 2 there at Three Mile Island in Middletown, Pennsylvania. 11 hours earlier, and just try to stay with me through this introduction. I'll get to the Bible in just a moment. But 11 hours earlier, operators attempted to fix a blockage in one of the filters in the core. And they did so by blowing out the filter with compressed air, which was not uncommon. However, this did not clear the blockage. So the operators decided to force the resin that was blocking into the water, the core cooling water, and depending on the force of this water, that would clear the blockage. It would just move it out. However, in doing so, they forced some water past a stuck open relief valve. And they forced water into the airline, causing the pumps to shut down around 4 a.m., causing what they call a turbine trip. Steam generators no longer received feed water, which is essential for cooling. Heat and pressure began to build. Auxiliary pumps began to kick in once the others failed. But because the valves were closed for routine maintenance, the system was unable to pump any water and just kept heating up. Again, pressure continued to increase, and this triggered the pilot-operated relief valve at the top of the pressure tank. But again, remember, it was stuck. It was stuck open. And so what happened was steam was escaping and all the water was heating up. Well, what happens to water when it heats up? It turns into steam. And all the water that was supposed to be cooling the system was escaping in the form of steam, all because of a stuck relief valve. And the result was basically, for those of you that, again, I'm not a nuclear physicist, thank God, amen, basically like a radioactive lava is forming in the reactor and possibly could have melted down through the reactor and caused what they called at the time the China syndrome, and that was that this nuclear material was so hot that it would go all the way from Pennsylvania to China, hitting groundwater and making nuclear clouds all the way. Just incredible when you think about it. Those of you that remember those days, remember that 140,000 people in the Middleton area of Pennsylvania were evacuated. And they really didn't know what was going to happen in those days. They thought there was a hydrogen bubble that could burst at any moment and cause a huge explosion, much like the explosion that would happen in Russia 7 years later at Chernobyl. And they really didn't know. And it was amazing to think about looking at it when you think about it, the investigation showed that the relief valves had failed. This company that produced the relief valves had failed on 11 different occasions. 9 of them in which they remained stuck open. $1 billion, folks. It cost $1 billion to clean up. And we're just moments and material away from a total nuclear meltdown. Also, it had a tremendous effect on the nuclear power industry. Folks had thought, hey, this is an incredible power source, and it'll cost you just nickels to heat your home and have your electricity and all that. And not another nuclear power plant began construction after Three Mile Island. Not one. A complex problem. An incredibly complex problem. A simple solution. One stuck valve. One stuck valve. In our text in Philippians chapter 2, the church at Philippi was a good church. We learn that in the end, and really in chapter number 4, that one of the things that really made it a good church was it was a giving church. Philippians chapter 4, by the way, people want to claim Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and amen. And then you go to the end of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Those are great verses. They're forgivers. They're forgivers. I talked about giving this morning. Paul said, look, I had all these needs and all you people did was meet my needs over and over and over again. But I want to tell you something. When you have a need, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. It was a good church. But like other churches, it had two real problems. Men and women. People. The only problems in churches are people. Amen? But that's all the church is. That's all the ministry is. I watched my friend yesterday getting ordained to the ministry, and we took some pictures, and I'm telling you, I he's as big as this pulpit, probably just about, maybe about this tall. And I thought to myself, I never knew you were that short, amen. He got ordained into the ministry, and his pastor gave a great charge about the ministry. The ministry's people. And occasionally, people see things differently. Daily, people see things differently. People have conflicts, and conflicts can happen in a church. And it's pretty obvious in chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit put his finger on that in the church at Philippi, and there were some folks that just weren't really on the same page. And I'll tell you this, God, God blesses a church that's unified. I mean unified, not kumbaya unity. You know, we just all sit around and sing kumbaya. I'm talking about in that Bible, unity. For the cause of Christ, unity. God blesses the church that's unified. And the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, he puts his finger on that here, and he shows that as these people are seeing things differently and as conflicts happen, Satan can come in and he can make these conflicts fester, and then he can make them so complex that we think, well, I need to leave, or I need to do this, or we're trying to figure out this complex problem. Can I submit to you tonight that there's a simple solution? A simple solution, and it's found in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you this? Maybe we have people here tonight with marriage problems. You say, can that happen? Oh yeah. Huh. The first thing the devil attacked was marriage. And he has attacked it every day since. Maybe there are people here with marriage problems. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's someone that is considering a divorce. By the way, if you consider it long enough, you'll do it. You know what the solution is? You know what the solution is to your marriage problem? You know what the solution is to your relationship problems? You know what the solution is to church relationship problem? It's simple. It's not complex. It's the mind of Christ.
Amen.
The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the simple solution to every relationship problem. Well, I think about that. Starting off with the springs of living water, and then Brother Tim, Christ is all. Boy, God knows what He's doing in setting up a service. Amen. The simple solution is the mind of Christ. I want you to look at this text with me, and I have 4 points and then maybe 5 applications tonight. First of all, the mind. What is the mind of Christ? I have this relationship problem, and by the way, the impetus or the beginning of this message happened last week. I got a call from some folks that that I was marriage counseling with 7 years ago at this time, Miss Judy, before I left Connecticut. I was trying to help them in their marriage, and they called me. He called me on Sunday night after I got done. My throat was a little scratchy. I almost didn't answer the phone. I saw the 860 area code. I knew that's Connecticut. And I said, well, I better answer it. And I picked it up, and this man got on the line. And I'm not tattling. Amen. I'm testifying here. He got on the line. He was just telling me they were having trouble and just began to talk to me. And I began to talk to him. And I said, well, is your wife there? And he said, yes. And I said, well, put her on the phone, put her on speaker, and I'll talk to both of you and try to help you. I got all the way to the end, and they were on the phone with me. They were chippy with each other. I could hear it. I could hear it. And I said to them over and over and over, you know what you need in your marriage? You need the mind of Christ. You need the mind of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the mind of Christ is all, it's what we need. It is the simple solution. If we had a dead ministry, Pastor Donald, you know what we need? The mind of Christ. Because the mind of Christ is not for a dead ministry. It's for a living, alive ministry, amen, that's reaching people and helping people and encouraging people. The mind of Christ, first of all, number one, right in our text, verse 2, if you would, look at it. What is the mind of Christ? It says, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded. The mind of Christ is a like mind. Number one, the mind of Christ is a like mind. Like-mindedness does not mean that we do not have diversity. Again, I've said this so many times, I feel like it gets old. I hope it doesn't, but the Bible should never get old. Amen. The 1 Corinthians 12 gives us the example of unity and diversity, and it is the human body. That's the illustration that God gives us, the body of Christ. And He says, you are part of the body of Christ and members in particular. The whole body is not just one big eye. Some of you know the Pixar shows. Years ago, I taught on the church, and I had a PowerPoint presentation, and I had a picture of Mike Wazowski, one big eye. I said, you know, the church is not one big eye, because how could we hear? Amen? The foot can't say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Hey, remember that the next time your foot itches. Amen. And your hand goes right down there and starts it. No, I have no need of thee. Oh, yeah? What do you think of that? Amen. That's not the way. Listen, that's not the way a body works. It doesn't mean, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. But it means we're of a like mind for the cause of Christ. Dear pastor friend of mine told me this story. He said He had, years ago, they were building their church, and the leadership decided that they were going to sell bonds. That's happened before. Many churches have done that through the years, selling bonds. And there was a man in the church who he thought, and he was given a platform to speak at a business meeting. He said, Pastor, I really don't think we should do it, and here's the reasons why. And he outlined them, and the pastor and the deacons had made the decision to go forward. And he said, well, brother, I appreciate you expressing that opinion. And he didn't do it with any malice or anything like that. And he said, but we've decided we're going to go forth with this. That man who didn't think they should sell bonds sold more bonds than anybody else. That's the mind of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. There was another time where the church was getting ready to paint the sanctuary, and they were talking about colors. God deliver us from 50 opinions on colors. Amen. And this man, they decided they're going to paint it a powder blue and a sky blue. And that this man said, and his wife, they said, you know, I really just don't think that'll look good in our auditorium. He said, well, okay, appreciate that, but we're going ahead and getting it. Those people spent the most time in the auditorium painting. That's the mind of Christ. That is the like mind of Christ right there. That's the like mind of Christ. Number one, it's a like mind. Number two, the mind of Christ, that simple solution. Not only a like mind, but right after there in verse 2, it says, like-minded, having the same what? Love. Love. It's not only a like mind, but it's a loving mind. It's a loving mind. You see, we mentioned that this morning. What you love, you give to. And thank God that the Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. But think of the context of what this is talking about, ladies and gentlemen. It's talking about believers who maybe there was a little rift there, maybe there was a little something in between. And the mind of Christ is not only a like mind, but it's a loving mind. You know, a loving mind looks for opportunities to be a blessing to somebody else. A loving mind. It happened in our church this week. It has so blessed me. I'm going to talk about it in just a little bit, but a loving mind. Having of course, love for Christ and then love for one another. A love for one another. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that does not come naturally. It's supernatural. Why? Because it's the mind of Christ. Christ is supernatural, and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. We need the simple solution, that relationship problem that you have with a brother or sister, you know what will solve it? Is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Having that like mind. We're going to be unified. Having that loving mind. Oh, I love this verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in what? Lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Number three, not only is the simple solution, the mind of Christ, a like mind and a loving mind, but it's a lowly mind. A lowly mind. I heard the best definition I've ever heard of humility is this. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is not thinking of yourself. Yeah. You know what is the cause of every church split? Every church split? Every church split? P-R-I-D-E, pride. Everyone. I've got to have my way. I've got to give my opinion. You know what the mind of Christ is? Lowliness. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Have my place in line. Have my chair. Have my seat. This week in our church, many of you know that our precious folks, Tom and Jen Gilbert, are expecting a baby. And that baby's having some real complications, having some real troubles. There's a blockage to, I believe, the artery that feeds the brain. And they're talking about some very serious things. And we had somebody else in our church this week going through serious trouble. And I know about it. And that person called me and said, could we do something for Tom and Jen?
And that blessed my heart. That is the mind of Christ. That's what that is. The mind of Christ is a lowly mind. It's a loving mind. It's a like mind. And then right along with that in verse number 4, it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." You know what it is? Fourthly, it's a looking mind. It's always looking to be a blessing to somebody else. I've told you the story about my friend, Brother John Bishop. I met Brother John Bishop. It's hard to believe it's been like 15 years now that I met him. Brother John Bishop, we went to his camp, amen, Pastor Donald, a couple of years ago, and it was 99 degrees every day, and we decided we probably needed to find a camp that was not quite so hot, amen. And and we went down, and at that time, Brother Bishop was wearing some pretty dark glasses, kind of like the Fanny Crosby glasses, if you've ever seen Fanny Crosby. He's going blind. There was a point 20 years ago where he was 50 years old, and he contracted, I believe it was viral spinal meningitis. And he literally, he went to sleep, went into a coma, woke up, and had no idea who he was, what he was, if he was, where he was. Everything was gone. Every bit of his memory was totally erased. It was like God hit the reset button. His wife came in and talked to him, and he couldn't articulate words. He couldn't form sentences. He had no idea who she was. She was trying to explain. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Totally gone. Everything you ever have and are in your mind is totally gone. And she basically had to reteach him. She had to teach him about marriage. You know, what was marriage? And she said, "Well, marriage means I belong to you and you belong to me." And her name is Donna. And so he said to her, as he began to learn to talk, he kind of talked like an Indian. He would, no prepositional phrases, like you'd introduce yourself to him. You'd say, "Hi, I'm Jordan Wallace. Nice to meet you." He'd say, "Hi, I'm John Bishop. Nice to meet you." That's how he would talk. And so his wife said, "Marriage means that I belong to you and you belong to me." He said, "So you not Donna, you my Donna." I'm telling you, to this day, he still calls her my Donna. He doesn't call her Donna. He calls her my Donna. Brother Bishop would get these, and he still gets them. It's why he has those glasses and sunlight bothers and things like that. He would get what they call cluster headaches, which is basically like a times 10 migraine because of the meningitis, because it was so tied into his spine and brain. And he would say this, "I'll never forget it, Mama Holy. I thought about all the pain he must have been in." He said this, "Pity party only fun when you by yourself." Anybody ever done any thumb sucking? I have. I got convicted about it just listening to Endurance, Brother Tim. they're eating whale blubber and all this, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, there's no Cheez-Its in the cabinet here. What's going on here? I'm suffering here. Amen. Oh, listen, you know what the mind of Christ is always on? It's looking for others, looking to be a blessing to others. I had a dear friend of mine said, when you get the mully grubs, when you get to having a pity party, you look for somebody else that you can help. Look for somebody else you can be a blessing. Look for somebody else that you can share the eternal gospel with. Amen. It's a looking mind. It's a looking mind, amen? It's a lowly mind, it's a loving mind, it's a like mind. When we exhibit the mind of Christ, 5 quick things here. When we exhibit the mind of Christ in our life, we see several things. Go with me, you're in Philippians, go back a couple of pages to Galatians. You got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Gas, Electric, and Phone Company. That's the easy way to remember that, amen? Galatians, look at chapter 2, verse 20. The first thing we see when we're exhibiting the mind of Christ consistently in our lives, and by the way, that starts with a decision to say, I am going to have the mind of Christ. I am going to make this decision. God, I come to you. I ask for your help. I need your help.
this can't just be my mind. My mind is a carnal mind. Amen. I need the mind of Christ. When we make that decision and we start walking in the Spirit, amen, and having the mind of Christ, we'll see, five things here. Number one, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says this. I am what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. For the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Number one, application, when we exhibit the mind of Christ, self is crucified. See, ladies and gentlemen, that's our problem in relationships. That's why marriages end in divorce. Self. And you know what we need to do to self? We need to put it on the cross where it belongs. We need to be crucified with Christ. We need, when you and I have the mind of Christ, we don't care for self. We don't care for self getting. We're more interested in others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What was the cross for? Others. Others. Who for the joy that was set before him, Hebrews 12:2 says, endured the cross. What was it? It was others. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, when we'll apply this simple solution to our complex problem, self is crucified, and that's always a good thing. Always a good thing. Number two, not only is self crucified, but let's go to Colossians. Remember, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So you pass Ephesians, go past Philippians, go to Colossians chapter 3. We quoted this verse this morning as well. It's a good verse. Not only is self crucified, self is crucified, but in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, we see something else here. It says, Colossians 3, 5, what's that first word, church? Mortify. You know what it means? Kill. I have in the side of my Bible, thou shalt kill. Right next to this verse, thou shalt kill. See, wait, pastor, isn't it thou shalt not kill? Well, what does it say here? To mortify. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness. It'd be good if we killed fornication in our own lives. Huh? It'd be good if we killed uncleanness in our own lives, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Not only when we exhibit the mind of Christ, this self is crucified, but sin is mortified in our lives. You know what we need? We need a good old-fashioned sin killing in our own lives. Amen? And you know what will produce it? You say, it's so complex to think about why people do what they do. No, no, it's easy. They don't have the mind of Christ. When we have the mind of Christ, we mortify sin in our lives. We don't pet it. We don't coddle it. We don't give in to it. We mortify it. We put it on the altar and burn it up just like they did in the Old Testament. The mind of Christ, that simple solution. Self is crucified. Sin is mortified. The Apostle Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Why do people fail? Why do people walk away from the work of the Lord? I'll tell you what. Many times it's because sin is not mortified, and it's because they don't have the mind of Christ. When we have the mind of Christ, self is crucified. Sin is mortified. I love this one. Romans. Go. So you got to go back. Take a left turn there. You go past Galatians. You'll go past 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and then Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Great chapter of the Word of God. Deals with weaker brothers. Dealing with weaker brothers. Verse number 19, please. Verse number 19 of Romans, chapter number 14. We see that when we exhibit the mind of Christ, that self is crucified. We see that sin is mortified. And then in Romans 14:19, it says there, Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may, what's that next word, church? Edify one or another. You know what I see when we have the mind of Christ? Not only is self crucified, sin is mortified, but saints are edified. Saints are edified. You say, Pastor, what is edify? I don't understand what that means. Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, remember we're talking about the church being a body, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I'll tell you what edify means. It means to build up. You know, our day, particularly, heaven forbid, in the political day, is all about tearing down. You know what, church? When we have the mind of Christ, listen, there are times where you have to raise a building to build a new building. There are times when we bluntly have to tear down. We have to say, look, this is the way it is. But it's not every time. Sometimes people need a pat on the back more than they need a kick in the pants.
Amen.
Sometimes both. I understand. My dad wore his kick right here, right around his waist. I needed that. I know I needed that. But listen, when we have the mind of Christ, we're interested in building one another up, not tearing one another down. It doesn't mean we won't offend one another. It doesn't mean we won't rub each other the wrong way. Hey, if you're around anyone long enough, eventually you're going to disagree. You're going to have disagreement. But what's the key to regulating it all? It's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ. And if we have the mind of Christ, if we have the mind of Christ, self is crucified. Sin is mortified. Saints are edified. I love this. Jude. Go to the little book of Jude. I so loved preaching through Jude in 2010 and 2011. I may just do it again. Amen. I really enjoyed that study, one of the richest studies I've ever done. Jude is only 25 verses long. It's one of the deepest books in all the Bible. And the deepest portion of Jude, I believe, is in verses 22 and 23. The deepest portion of Jude. When we have the mind of Christ, self is crucified, sin is mortified, saints are edified. Look at Jude 22 and 23. It says, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Fourthly, sinners are justified when we have the mind of Christ. Sinners are justified. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean just as simple as this. When we get the mind of Christ for others, we'll start reaching out to others with the gospel. Many times the reason we're spiritual mutes is because we don't have the mind of Christ. Plain and simple, ladies and gentlemen. Say, I don't like that. I don't much care. I don't like it either.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we have the mind of Christ, which is always for others, sinners will be justified. That means, hey, listen, Brother Downing, I've got to pass out gospel tracts. I've got to try to talk to somebody. I've got to have somebody burdened on my heart to share the gospel with. Not because I'm a preacher, because I want to have the mind of Christ. Others, sinners are justified. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happened for me. A big old airplane mechanic named Bob Barnes that was 6'6", 300 pounds, decided that day he was going to carry a couple of gospel tracts with him. And as we were heading to Springfield, Massachusetts, he shared a word for the Lord there. And then as we stopped and got a bite to eat, he grabbed those gospel tracts. Or we stopped in Springfield for me to drop him off, for him to get a truck. He took those gospel tracts and he said, can I give you something? I said, sure. Not realizing that my life would change forever because a giant old airplane mechanic had the mind of Christ. See, it's a simple solution. It's
You say, well, my wife and I aren't getting along. The solution is simple. Have the mind of Christ. You'll get along. Have that lowly mind. Have that like mind. Have that loving mind. Have that looking mind that's always looking to be a blessing. You see, sir, if the dishes are piled up, feel free to do them. All the ladies are like, and all the guys are like, stone him. Stone him. Amen. No, no, no. That's the mind of Christ. Maybe the mind of Christ is my wife had a hard day today and didn't get to the dishes. So I'll help out. I'll pitch in. Listen, that's the mind of Christ is others. It's not self and what I can get and please me and serve me. It's serve others. That's the mind of Christ. And that is the simple solution. Last point. We need the like mind. We need the loving mind. We need the lowly mind. We need the looking mind. That's the mind of Christ. When we have it, self is crucified. Sin is mortified. Saints are edified. And I love this. Sinners are justified. John 15, verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." Go back to Philippians chapter 2, and I want to give you this last point. Philippians chapter 2. I hope this makes sense to you tonight. It made sense when I was trying to put it together, I'll tell you that. I was trying to help this couple, and I could see that they were just so at each other. And I thought, you're making it so hard. You're making it, well, she does this, and he does this, and I'm so sick of this and this. And I almost wanted to do a John Bishop doing a race. Say the solution is simple. The solution in marriage troubles is simple. I'm sorry, will you forgive me? That's the mind of Christ. Forgive me. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Just having the mind of Christ always puts others before yourself. Always. You know what happens when we have the mind of Christ? Philippians chapter 2, look at verses 9 and 10. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. What does it say there? It says, "Wherefore God also hath highly," what? "Exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the what? To the glory of God the Father." When we exhibit the mind of Christ, self is crucified. Sin is mortified. Saints are edified. Sinners are justified. And I'll tell you what, greatest of all, when we exhibit the mind of Christ, the Savior is glorified in our lives. You see, it was the mind of Christ that led Christ to the cross. And it was the mind of Christ that exalted Him. Amen? One day, hey, listen, every knee's going to bow. He is going to be glorified. Every tongue's going to confess. And I love that verse. It says, of things in heaven and the things in the earth and things under the earth. And you can just put in there everywhere and anywhere. Everything's going to confess. Everyone's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, in your life, when you're exhibiting the mind of Christ, you are glorifying the Savior. You are bringing Him glory with your life. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't that the purpose for which we were created?
Yeah.
To bring Him glory with our lives. Hey, according to our Constitution, I think, Brother Lowell, that our church is for the glory of God.
Right.
And you know when that happens, ladies and gentlemen? When the members of the church have the mind of Christ. Hey, listen to me. I'm not minimizing your problems. I know people in here carrying heavy burdens. You know what God wants you to have? The mind of Christ. You want to listen, hey, husband and wife, you want to have a better marriage? Do you? I do. I'd like to have the best marriage I could possibly have. You know where it starts? Me having the mind of Christ. Not my wife having the mind of Christ, me. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need to have the mind of Christ. Hey, you know what, Brother Rob? I think if I have the mind of Christ, and I pray that my wife would have the mind of Christ, I think she'll get it.
Yeah. Amen.
I think God wants that. Amen. Each one of us to have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? It's a like mind. It's a loving mind. It's a lowly mind. And it's a looking mind, looking for others, looking on the things of others. And when we have it, self is crucified, sin is mortified, saints are edified, sinners are justified, and the Savior is glorified. It's a simple solution, ladies and gentlemen. Let's have the mind of Christ. Father, we love you.